Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side or the right side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode of the On the Fin Side podcast with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. We are continuing our position by position breakdown here with the offensive tackle class. And even though this isn't the greatest class as far as top level talent, it's a really good class at the offensive tackle spot. It may not matter that much for the Dolphins, but at a high level view, when you take a look at it on the consensus board that I've compiled here, and you can go to Brian Kat and NFL on that. I combined several big boards here, just updated over the last week, with ESPN, PFF, Daniel Jeremiah, Lance Zierlein, Matt Miller, Gil Brandt, Dane Brugler, and CBS. And when you take a look at that list now, you've got Evan Neal as the third overall prospect there. Fourth, you've got Ike Ekwonu from NC State. You've got Charles Cross as the 10th player from Mississippi State. You've got Trevor Penning, 21st. You've got Bernard Raymond from Central Michigan, 31st. You've got Tyler Smith from Tulsa, 43rd. And Daniel Falele, who we'll talk about in a bit, at 62, as well as Abraham Lucas at 77. So this is a very good offensive tackle class. But, Paul, when I take a look at this, I'm struggling to see where that really fits in with the Dolphins, who are picking in the third round and the fourth round at 102 and 125.
Yeah, it's, and not only that, I'm not convinced that the Dolphins don't think they can either salvage Austin Jackson or Notre Dame. Give it to me. You got it.
Liam Eikenberg.
Yes, Liam Eikenberg for right tackle, or kick Robert Hunt back out. And I know people are convinced Robert Hunt could be a Pro Bowl right guard. I think Robert Hunt could be a Pro Bowl right guard or right tackle. He's that versatile over there. And I would be absolutely fine with him kicking back out to tackle and letting Solomon Kinley, Austin Jackson, Liam Eikenberg, Robert Jones, all literally just put them in a room, see who walks out, and make them your right guard.
And that's really the advantage of having Armstead at left tackle and Connor Williams at left guard, because it allows you to take those resources and push them over to the right side, like we've talked about. And with that, when you take a look at this class from a high level view, and we're going to get to how it relates to the Dolphins here in just a second, but if the Dolphins were picking in the first round, you know, say the middle of the first round, you know who the top four guys are. Evan Neal from Alabama, Ike Ikuanu from NC State, Charles Cross from Mississippi State, and Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa. If you had to rank those guys one through four, what would that sound like?
And this is consensus rankings be damned?
Yeah.
All right. I'd have Ike Ikuanu at the top of that pile. I really like a lot with Evan Neal, but I don't see the consistent drive at times. I see a little bit of plotting at times. And, you know, this is being nitpicky, and it's more so about the fact that I think Ikuanu has a higher ceiling than Neal does. And so I'd probably go Ikuanu. And it's a lot closer for me between Charles Cross and Evan Neal than I think it would be on a lot of boards out there. And then Trevor Penning, I love the dude. Like, he needs to be on the right line where they're going to be accepting of a couple of penalties. And I think, given the way Miami drafted this year, or sorry, approached the offseason this year, they got some guys with a mean streak. And Trevor Penning would be a guy that would fit in, but he's still fourth on this list for me.
Yeah, he's still fourth on the list for me too. And Ike Ikuanu may go number one overall based on what's been talked about because of that upside and that nasty streak. I've got it really close between the top three guys because I think all three of Evan Neal, Charles Cross, and Ike Ikuanu are top 10 players in this draft. Evan Neal is my number one guy because it always goes back for me to, I want an offensive tackle to do his job. You know, back in 2019, Evan Neal was a guard, did a great job. He was a right tackle in 2020, did a great job. In 2021, was even better. And so because of that, I see consistency at a high level program and against the best competition. So he's my number one because I want that offensive tackle to just do his job. And that's for me what Evan Neal does. But Ike Ikuanu is a mean, nasty dude. I mean, even I'm shocked when I look at him that he's 6'4", 310, because he has a longer wingspan and longer arms than actually his arm length is the same as Evan Neal, but his wingspan is 2 inches bigger than Evan Neal, who is 6'8", 360 pounds, or excuse me, 350 pounds. So he's got a lot of upside, but the other part of that too is there's a lot of projection with him. He's a mean, nasty guy. And, but in pure pass protection sets, he hasn't quite proven himself. And there was a little bit of that with Greg Robinson in 2014, as well as Mekhi Becton a couple of years ago for the Jets. So I have a little bit more question about him, but I think he is by far the most talented offensive tackle in this class. Charles Cross, when I look at him from Mississippi State, I think he'll go somewhere. He better go somewhere in the top 10 picks because he's a talented player. I think Andre Dillard really screwed him from a couple of years ago because he was in Mike Leach's offense and he was at Washington State, Andre Dillard, when he was selected in the first round. He hasn't been very good. And Charles Cross, now coached by Mike Leach at Mississippi State, to me has been a lot better and he's a lot better prospect. And if he falls, I think he falls because there's not a lot of run blocking upside with him. Trevor Penning, yeah, I think is a clear fourth. And I'll kick it back to you on this. Do you see a little bit of Taylor Lewan in Trevor Penning?
No, and I say that in a good way. I see a little bit more the tackle version of, oh God, the belly from last year. Went to Denver, guard that I loved. Sorry.
Quinn Miners.
Yes. I see a little more of the tackle version of Quinn Miners in Trevor Penning, if that makes any kind of sense.
Trevor Penning went to the Senior Bowl and, for good and bad reasons, rubbed a lot of people the right way and the wrong way.
He beat the hell out of people all week.
He was throwing people around. And then he went to the Combine at 6'7", 333, and put up unbelievable numbers. To run a 489 with a 7.25 three-cone drill at that size is unbelievable. And to pair that nasty streak with it is shocking for what he did. But there's a lot of stiffness in his body, too. And that's why I think that he could be somebody that I'm having a hard time projecting him. He could be a top 10 pick. He could fall out of the first round because of that stiffness. But say he does. Say he's available early second round, which I don't think will happen. Would you be in favor of the Dolphins trading their first round pick in 2023?
No,
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. But I wanted to ask you about that.
No, and I appreciate that. It just, I wouldn't be, and I don't feel like if Greer moves up, I don't feel like it's going to be for an offensive tackle or an offensive guard. It's going to be for an explosive player that slides, for a linebacker, or somebody that scores touchdowns.
Simple as that. Yeah, and yeah, I'm with you on that. So after we get past the top four guys, the other ones that are projected to go somewhere late first round to mid second round are Bernard Raymond from Central Michigan and Tyler Smith from Tulsa. Bernard Raymond, one thing I need to point out, because you know I love to talk about arm length, is out of the first nine consensus offensive tackle prospects in this draft, Evan Neal, Ekwonu, Cross, Penning, Raymond, Tyler Smith, Abraham Lucas, Daniel Falele, and Nicholas Petit-Frere, he is the only guy that has under 34-inch arms. That's why I have a problem with him. Because, and it's not only that, but he's also very raw, 25 years old. He's 25 coming into the league and just learned to play offensive line a couple of years ago. So he's one of the enigmas in this draft. He could go somewhere in the first round. He could fall all the way down to the third round. And Tyler Smith too is one of the more intriguing offensive tackles in this draft because one of the comparisons with him has been, from a developmental perspective, Austin Jackson, because they have so far to go. The word that I've heard is overhaul with him. And, you know, as far as Tyler Smith is concerned, he's got this wide body. He is nasty. He is a freak of an athlete. There's no doubt about that, but he had 16 holding calls. Or no, excuse me, 16 penalties last year, 12 of which were holding. And Lance Zierlein from NFL.com nailed it perfectly, that when he is in any sign of trouble, he holds immediately. And these are two guys from
teachers.
Yeah. From a Dolphins perspective.
Go ahead. Don't move on from him, though, because I want to talk about it.
From a Dolphins perspective, I look at these top six guys and say they don't factor in. If Trevor Penning were there at the top of the second round, if he happened to fall, I still wouldn't be up for it, just like you. And Raymond and Tyler Smith, to me, are second-round picks. May slide into the first because of, you know, they might get pushed up the board, but that's it.
Yeah, and Tyler Smith, I hate the Austin Jackson comparison. I really, truly do. It's Tyler Smith does commit penalties, but they are effort and nastiness penalties. Like, and it may be when he's losing a rep, but it's still, you know, he wants so badly to not lose the rep that he'll grab on at times. Austin Jackson, God, the number of times last year you watch him, he's just standing there looking around while everybody else is back around Tua trying to keep four guys off him with two. And it's just like, oh, whew, look at that. interesting. Like, and like Austin Jackson doesn't see that there's an issue there. Like Austin Jackson's like, oh, this was nice. I didn't not block anybody on this one because there was no one there. Like, and you know, Tyler Smith's going to chase somebody down and beat the living hell out of him. One of the comparisons I was reading about with him was, I think it said, it was something like, if you want Trevor Penning only a full round later, Tyler Smith's your guy. And I kind of agree with it, even though he's a little bit raw.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Smith is nasty, and that's what he has working against working against him and working for him, because if you can just tweak some of his technical skills, then he's not going to go to that first instinct of holding so often. And I think he's going to end up in the first round because the talent level is so high. You're talking about somebody who's 6'5", 330 pounds with elite movement skills, nastiness. A guy I compare him to actually is Andre Smith, who was a top six pick back in the 2009 draft. So after we get past them, there seems to be a little bit of a drop off.
Oh no. You're going to talk about Falele.
Falele, let's go back to a question I should have asked you at the beginning of the show.
What?
Who?
Falele no like that.
So I know your player that you dislike more than everybody else. Who is a player you like more than everybody else at the offensive tackle spot this year?
I mean, Tyler Smith is definitely one of those guys I really like. And then from there, I really like Zach Tom, but he's gotten a lot of play lately. I would have to say,
and while you think about that, Zach Tom met with the Dolphins.
Yes, he did. Resign Cam Tom, and we just have a Tom offensive line.
If they do, he's not going to play tackle. He's going to play center. I'll promise you that because a comparison for him is Wade Smith, where he has all the parts together except the ability to play. I'm not going to say he can't play tackle, but I'm a big size component at offensive tackle. And Zach Tom is an intelligent guy. I mean, he has the right strike points at every point when he's playing offensive line. If you want to see a just incredible tape of him, watch him play against Jermaine Johnson again for Florida State, because he absolutely shut him down at the offensive tackle spot and projects better as a center. So yeah. We're going to talk about him a lot more at the interior offensive line spot. And some of these guys overlap a little bit. And one guy that, for me, if he starts falling to the late second, early third round, I'd be interested in the Dolphins trading up for is Abraham Lucas. This is somebody who had 2,200 pass blocking snaps and showed himself to be a much better athlete than a lot of people thought. And if you put him on the right side of the offensive line with Robert Hunt, I don't care where they play, right guard, right tackle, they both have the movement skills and the production and the intelligence to be able to play in this offense together. I look at him as, even in the second or third round, kind of like a Juwan James when healthy type of player, where you can just plug and play him.
Well, another guy too that I wanted to mention real quick, because Bernard Raymond gets all the love right now for Central Michigan. He absolutely does. He may go in the first round potentially, but somebody a little bit later on that was a lot of fun to watch, if you're watching Raymond's tape, is slide four spots over from him to Luke Goedeke.
Luke Goedeke, yeah, absolutely.
I really think if Bernard Raimann wasn't on his team, he'd be projected probably a full round and a half, 2 rounds higher. He's that talented. He showed a ton of growth. I want to say he only had 7 pressures allowed in 2021. And it's his footwork was phenomenal. He's able to work really well in the outside zone scheme, which is huge. And I think his power is okay, and it's something that he can improve upon. And really with that, the fact that he's still learning to play the position, because he entered college as a tight end, I believe. There's really a lot to like about the kid. And you don't hear about him because the second you mention Central Michigan and offensive tackle, everyone's like, oh, Bernard Raimann. And it's funny. I think I like his upside better than I like Raymond's in the long term.
Yeah. 6'5", 310 pounds with tackle guard versatility, Luke Goedeke. And a lot of people think his best position might be center. You can see the immediate hand movement and the intelligence as soon as the ball is snapped. So he's somebody, I mean, even at 102, I might consider. Mean, if I'm making a board for the 102nd and 125th pick, Luke Goedeke is going to be on it somewhere. There's no doubt about that. And going back to the offensive tackle pure spots, there's also a lot of guys I don't like. I mean, Daniel Falele.
There's one one right in the middle of that friggin' list.
Yeah, exactly right. Daniel Falele, 6'8", 390, is unacceptable. And Paul likes fat guys.
I wanted to like him so freaking bad. Like, anybody that's listened to this show, if you stand 6'7", or above and 350 and up, I'm going to try to like you. I really am. Like, but it's just he plays like he thinks in slow motion. There's just so many moments where you just see him. Oh no, there he goes. Like, he's like the ogre from Mickey and the Beanstalk. Like,
yeah, I compare him to Andre the Giant. I mean,
anybody want a peanut?
And I love Andre the Giant. But he is like, it'd be one thing if, and a comparison that I see a lot with him is Orlando Brown. And I throw up when I see that, because Orlando Brown was a great offensive tackle. He was giant and people didn't think it projected to the next level. I have to admit, I thought the same thing at the time, but he was an elite offensive tackle in college. Daniel Falele is 6'8", 390. I mean, he's a fat ass. That's it.
He might be Orlando Brown if Orlando Brown was stuck in quicksand with a blindfold.
This is finally one player Paul and I agree with.
1,000%. Like, and it's look, you may be able to take and turn him into a powerful enough dominant tackle with 4 years of good teaching. Maybe. I don't gamble that for a player that's going to go as high as he's going to. And somebody's going to take that early gamble on 6'8", 385 pounds. Someone's going to take that gamble. And I sure as hell hope it's not us.
Yeah.
If we trade up for him, that's when you're going to see me get pissed.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But three players I do like, and more on day three, not day two. So more with the Dolphins' fourth round pick at 125. There are some players alike. One of them is Derry Rosenthal from Kentucky. And this is somebody who, when you watch him on tape, number 51 for Kentucky, looks like a tight end, but he has long arms and he plays with unusual strength. Watch him on that. He went to LSU for a couple of years. He transferred after a couple of problems. I'm not sure if he was dismissed, but you know, he's got some got some issues. Also, Rasheed Wallace from Rasheed Walker from Penn State. This guy is a former four-star athlete, and he looks every bit the part. He was actually my comparison to Austin Jackson, and not in a bad way, because if Austin Jackson was the 102nd pick in the 2020 draft, I would have been perfectly happy with that selection, because I thought it would have been worth the risk. He looks the part. He gets his arms up quickly, and he is violent when he does get his arms up. He's just so inconsistent and has so many rough edges that it's hard to tell if he's going to be a boom or a bust, but I think that's worth the risk there at pick 102. And also off the field, he is Debo from Friday. I mean, this is somebody who didn't feel like walking to class in 2018. This is from Dane Brugler's draft guide from The Athletic. He didn't feel like walking to class, so he stole somebody's bike and
rode his bike to class.
I'm not sure if that's funny or a red flag, but talented on the field. No doubt about that. And this past year, also, James Franklin, Penn State's coach, said publicly that he's never seen a player improve so much from year to year. So, well,
Kat, I'm glad you wanted to talk about Spencer Burford from the University of Texas, San Antonio.
I don't mind him either. He is a traits-based dude.
He is basically the later round version of Nicholas Petitfrere. He's mean. He's nasty. He's a hell of a run back blocker, but he can also drop his hips and set in pass protection and really get some drive. And one thing that I would urge folks, if you're going to look at the offensive tackle class, whether you agree with Kat, whether you agree with me, whether you agree with both of us or neither of us, if the guy's not a good run blocker, he's not a good fit for a Mike McDaniel offense. So,
yeah, I'll go a step further. If he's not athletic, he's not a good fit for this offense. And to that point, Kellen Deesh from Arizona State, I really like, because he looks like a tight end and he needs to add weight, but you know, somebody that has that athleticism and that arm length at 6'7", 304, and has been productive in college. I mean, if he's there in that fourth round area and you can get him in there to get some extra bodies at the offensive tackle position and take the rest of the resources and bring them further into the guard center position, I'd be certainly with that as well.
I want Spencer Burford in Miami, and I want the first week of practice him to get in an absolute knockdown brawl with either Christian Wilkins or Zach Sealer. Like, have to be separated, show up on NFL Network. Dolphins are beating the hell out of each other at camp. I want that. I want it bad, because this offensive line needs some nasty. After watching guys just stand around last year, I want to see the offensive line and the defensive line just early in camp have one fight, one good, just beat the crap out of each other fight.
I don't want any fighting in camp between two douchebags, but
yes,
that's just me. In chat, somebody mentioned Luca Tenuto from Virginia Tech. He is somebody who is 6'9". But does not have 33-inch arms. How is that possible? Like, who were your parents?
He's a T-Rex.
Seriously. He is a T-Rex. And he had the nerve to come out of college early. But he's going to be a draftable player too. And that's what it comes down to with these players here in day three that we're going to be looking at. And the Dolphins are likely going to be, you would think, are going to get some extra picks here, or maybe not. I mean, so Paul, one question I've just been pondering over the last couple of days is, would you rather the Dolphins trade up for one player, or would you rather have them trade back down from pick 102 to stockpile like an extra sixth round pick or a seventh round pick this year to have like a beefier third day?
That's a tough question, because who are they trading up for? Like, was Troy Anderson still on the board at 102? Cause I don't want to pass him by. If he's there, was Calvin Austin the third still there at 102? Don't know if I want to pass him by. And, you know, so I'm so much in that camp of letting the situation dictate. And it's very easy for us to say when we've got, you know, the third overall pick, like, would you trade down or would you try to come up? Like, yeah, if I, trade down, accumulate a couple picks, still take this guy because he's definitely going to be there. But at 102, whew, I can't tell you what that draft board's going to look like then for certain, because there's a lot of variables, even with 2 weeks left to go.
Yeah. I mean, one guy I would certainly trade up for if he fell late second, early third is Abraham Lucas, because I think there's a decent probability that he gets inserted immediately at right tackle and plays at an above average level at a rookie contract. And when you look at his production there at Washington State, I think it makes a lot of sense, but there's not a lot of other guys. So, and
One guy that Brett Dodger brought up in chat was, I think he said Cat must like Matt Lewetsko.
Yeah, man.
86 Dodger, wingspan, baby. Let's
Brett
go.
Brett Dodger, you are reading my mind. And it's not just because of the wingspan, but because I like players who are in college, who are come from a lower level of competition, are thin, have a wide wingspan, and they can add weight. So if you get him into that 6'7", 330-pound range with an 86-inch wingspan and good film, absolutely 100%. And fourth round may be a little bit too rich, but if you're talking about anything below that, 100%. Anybody else? One guy from UConn who had a pro day shirtless the other day was Ryan Van DeMark. And he's somebody who's very thin in the lower body, but, you know, 6'6", 310.
He is hell of a lot of fun to watch. He's got tremendous upside. I think he's going to potentially need some development time, but he's been one of those guys. Like, UConn, man, we have this conversation every year, Kat. UConn sends some solid players to the NFL, and you know, we've got one on the Dolphins. Travis Jones is coming out this year. Like, you start looking around, it's like, oh, wow, there's a lot of them out there. And he could be somebody that could step in fairly early on, but I think he's going to need a few weeks during the season before he takes over a role. So he might be a guy that if you're going to keep Austin Jackson at right tackle to start the year with Robert Hunt at right guard, he's probably going to take over for Austin Jackson after Mike McDaniel watches him watch the game from the field.
Yeah, man.
Now, if Braxton Jones could get a little bit stronger, he'd be a hell of a lot of fun to watch, but he needs to develop in the weight room. Just like Larnell Coleman's another one that could be interesting. And you know what? There were rumors last year before he got hurt early about them working him at center. So Larnell Coleman right now is probably our second center on the roster.
Yeah, that was probably Lamiel Jean-Pierre who suggested putting a 6'7" center who'd never played the position at that spot.
Now, if you want to put Daniel Falele at center, because where he doesn't have to chase people. Daniel snap.
Yeah. Also, too, I'm not sure if we brought him up yet, but Max Mitchell from Louisiana,
We have not.
He blew it for me. He blew it at the Senior Bowl, even though he'd been a productive player. But the player you may want to ask about him is Robert Hunt, because, you know, he and Robert Hunt were teammates. So if Robert Hunt, I would hope, has that clout where he can be asked about that, because, you know, Max Mitchell was a productive player at Louisiana, but unfortunately he didn't test out well athletically and he didn't do well at the Senior Bowl. So his stock has, he was a top 40 player on Daniel Jeremiah's big board before the Senior Bowl. And now he's more thought of like a fifth or a sixth round pick.
Yeah, no, sorry. It's all I could think of. I'm still on Falele, dude. I'm still on Falele. All I could think of is the movie Hot Fuzz and the character, the actor that played the Hound in Game of Thrones played this character in Hot Fuzz. And all he said was yarp and narp. And like, he was just this big dumb idiot that the way that he finally took him out was he threw a teddy bear at him. He's like, oh, like, and that's, I can't pick, like, I watch Falele play and that's how he plays football. And I know, yeah. I know it's, yeah, horrible he is, to say. It's
just, he comes out of his stance so tall, even for being 6'8".
And he does it just in time for the next snap.
And my comparison for him has always been Zach Banner, who was a third round pick from USC a couple of years ago. He was just so massive that he was useless and he hasn't done anything in the NFL. So no. I think that's going to be Falele. And I'm shocked to see him in the second round of mock drafts. Well, like, what's wrong with you people?
If he actually gets his hands on you, like if you're just dumb and slow enough and not paying attention and let him grab you, you're done at that point. Like, I will give him that. Like, if some idiot wants to stand there and try to bull rush him, good luck. But anything else, you're just watching him grab air.
Yep. He is not a physical player for being 6'8", 390. He's new to football, but I don't think he's going to be very good at it. So that's going to do it here for our breakdown of the offensive tackle class. Be sure to join us tomorrow night when we talk about the interior offensive line class. I'm Brian Catt, NFL, Paul's Fanatic _ pick. Be sure to join us as well on the FinFanatic.com website and the FanSided network as well. If it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.